This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Admitted white supremacist Patrick Crucius is sentenced to 90 consecutive life sentences in federal prison for the 2019 racist attack at a Texas Walmart. Reporter Chris Fox has the story.
The judge recommending Crucius receive mental health treatment while in custody at the Supermax prison in Colorado. Crucius pleaded guilty in February to 90 federal charges after prosecutors took the death penalty off the table. The district attorney in El Paso says the federal sentence won't prevent him from seeking the death penalty in state court. That trial could happen as early as 2024.
23 people were killed in what's considered one of the worst hate crimes in U.S. history, where Crucius targeted Hispanic shoppers at the Walmart in El Paso. Police have arrested a suspect in Sunday's mass shooting at a block party in Baltimore. CBS's Elaine Quijano reports.
Officers say they've taken a 17-year-old into custody. He's facing several charges, including possession of a firearm by a minor, assault weapon possession, and reckless endangerment. Sunday's shooting killed two people and left 28 others, including children, injured. There's no word yet on a motive.
There may have been additional shooters as well. The Biden administration has decided to provide cluster munitions to Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan defends the decision.
We base our security assistance decision on Ukraine's needs on the ground. And Ukraine needs artillery to sustain its offensive and defensive operations.
CBS's Cammie McCormick has details on these controversial weapons.
Cluster munitions are banned by many countries, and the UN Secretary General is warning countries against using them. His spokesman, Farhan Haq.
The Secretary General supports the Convention on Cluster Munitions, which, as you know, was adopted 15 years ago. And so as a result, of course, he does not want there to be continued use of cluster munitions on the battlefield.
The Pentagon insists these have a reduced dud rate, meaning fewer unexploded rounds that can result in civilian deaths. Cluster bombs open in the air to hit multiple targets.
Heat, and a lot of it. Here's Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
East of the Mississippi, it's going to be a combination of heat and humidity that's going to make it feel like it's in the 90s and even over 100 in some spots.
The D.C. Bar Association has recommended former President Trump's personal attorney Rudy Giuliani be disbarred.
The bar's hearing committee made the recommendation after finding that Giuliani made hyperbolic claims of election fraud during legal proceedings in Pennsylvania. The committee said it can't conclude that Giuliani lied to the judge, but said his claims were, quote, utterly false and recklessly so.
CBS's Christopher Cruz. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Boys and Girls Clubs across Wisconsin on Thursday to promote his budget signing. Among other things, Evers used his veto pen to increase public school funding for the next 402 years, and Evers said it was important to invest in education for the future.
There's lots of changes that have happened along the way that they need to adapt to, but at the end of the day, they're our future, and having some guarantee that there's going to be some increase 400 years from now, I think that's important.
Republicans are considering a lawsuit over the 402-year budget measure for schools. Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee in the state legislature, called Evers' tax priorities misguided and said that the annual increased spending on schools would lead to larger property tax increases. And it should be comfortable weather this weekend if you're heading out on the lake or into the woods. Temperatures will be in the mid-70s to mid-80s with some scattered rain chances throughout the weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still Struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. Follow up on the story yesterday about Governor Evers' vetoes, very, very creative and skillful vetoes of the budget that the legislature tried to ram through him. Robin Voss, the illegitimate speaker of an illegitimate majority, Republican majority in the assembly, without fair maps, that's what you get. They have a two-thirds majority in the Senate. They don't even get half the statewide votes. They have just a few seats short of a two-thirds majority in the Assembly. Fortunately, we've kept them away for now. He was calling, according to this news broadcast that I saw, from Brussels, Belgium. I've been to Brussels, a beautiful city. Why don't you decide? Do you think that Voss paid for his plane ticket? Do you think maybe you paid for his plane ticket? And maybe I paid for his plane ticket with taxpayer money. He's very, very, very generous in spending taxpayer money where he wants to. But the question I have is, Robin Voss, who's a Putin-esque, illegitimate character, gerrymandered, wouldn't exist with fair maps. What is he doing in Brussels? What is he doing in Brussels, the headquarters of the EU? News broadcast, I haven't the faintest idea. The news broadcast said he was, quote, speaking to European leaders, end quote. Now, that is a laugh. If he's doing that at our expense, and I suspect he is, suspect he flew over at our expense, want to make sure he didn't fly business class. We should check that out. Like to know what restaurants he's going to in Brussels. There's some expensive ones. He's having himself a vacation is what he is. And what is he going to talk to European leaders about? Represents Mount Pleasant. Well, maybe he can talk to him about Foxconn. Maybe he can go, well, there's this Chinese company, and all they want is $4 billion, but you can get them down to probably $1 billion, and they may manufacture something someday. Build a lot of roads, put in a lot of electrical infrastructure for them, turn over some of the best developable land in your country or state, and then they'll own it, and you won't get jack in return. Maybe he'll say that, but they'll look at him over there. There's some sharp cookies over there, and they're not going to put up with this. I really would like to know what he thinks he's doing over there. What does he think he's doing over there? Well, here's what he said. This is a statement he issued, of course, attacking Evers, and then saying, well, he is considering a constitutional amendment to get rid of the line item veto, of the Vanna White veto. The problem for him is that for a constitutional amendment to be presented to the electorate, it has to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature. If we have fair maps after this particular session, a fair map legislature isn't going to go along with him. Secondly, let's say it passes. There was a constitutional amendment in 1990 taking away the most extreme version of the Vanna White veto, which let the government, the governor, move letters from line to line to make new words and new appropriations. But let's say that the constitutional amendment is put on the ballot, and let's say it does pass. It's going to be two consecutive legislative sessions. Then it goes to the electorate. Let's say it passes. That will forever then bind future governors, including Republican governors who use it to stick it to the state. It'd be very nice if it didn't exist for Republican governors and only for Democratic governors. I'm being a little facetious. One day we may have responsible Republican governors again, like Lee Dreyfus. I don't know. I don't see any soon. The other thing he says he's thinking of is a new bill. Well, we're just going to put in a new bill outside of the budget process. And that bill, what do you think the provision is that he's targeting? The provision that he's targeting is the tax cut. What Evers did, it was great. The original budget bill that the Republicans put in divided us into four categories for tax purposes. One, everybody over 400 some odd grand, up to infinity. The second one, under 400 grand, but more than an amount under some, I think it was in about 80 or 90, something like that. The third was something over 30 some odd grand, and the last one was everybody else at the bottom. What Evers did was keep the tax cuts intact for people at the lower end of that ladder. He vetoed the tax cuts for the people at the upper end of that ladder. The fact of the matter is that our tax structure is very competitive in this state. And it's not wrong. In fact, it's right for people who are doing well and enjoying Wisconsin, enjoy living here, to pay their fair share. But let's say Voss does put another bill in. And he clearly can do it because he has a two-thirds majority in the Senate and almost a two-thirds majority in the Assembly, and all he needs is a majority. So he sends it up, another clown bill. Evers already said, I would veto it again. And then the question is, can they override the veto? They can't override the veto for what Evers did with the budget. They can't override the veto. My favorite is Evers jotting out the two, the zero, and the dash, so that education funding is extended for 402 years to 2425. That was terrific. That's getting their fur up. One of the mistakes the Republicans made the last time they put a constitutional amendment in was the governor can't do certain things to letters, but it's silent about numbers. And that's why they tripped up. Well, but let's get back to what the real issue is, okay? Say the bill goes through again, Evers vetoes. In the Senate, they have a two-thirds majority, assuming every senator votes. They'd override his veto in the Senate. They also have to override his veto in the House, the Assembly, I should say. We only have a couple of vote cushion against a veto-proof majority there. It would mean that all of our people would have to be on board. They'd have to actually show up and vote. They would have to do the right thing. And this is my message to him as a Democrat, as a Wisconsinite, and as a former chairman of this party for two terms. Show up. We don't want to see anybody dilly-dallying, going on vacation, and not showing up. Not showing up. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Happy Friday, Matt. Thanks for the good show. I call him Lion Crying Robin Voss. Screwing a taxpayer is Foxconn, also hiring Gableman to take my vote away and getting in on the big lie the 2020 election was fixed and creating all this chaos in the state. So, you know what? Tony helped me out as a taxpayer. He helped everybody out with the taxpayer except the top end. So, you know, I hope he brings forth another bill and it gets vetoed again. And the education part is, that's pretty cool also. So, you know, the bottom line is you can't stand the fact, Matt, that he's smarter than Voss and the Republicans.
Right.
And they're gerrymandered anyway. And these guys are just, you know, you just get sick of their crying. It's okay for them to okay Foxconn and Gableman and all this other stupid stuff. But when the tide is turned against them, then they start crying. I mean, just, you ever see such crybabies? I haven't. Anyway, thanks for your show, Matt. And
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the great call, as always, my friend. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Oh, Matt, you made my day. I just got off the phone with Robin Voss's office because I was listening to your show. So I thought, well, let's dive into this. So I get a hold of his office, and lo and behold, I get a live person. And I forgot what his name was. He was an assistant to Voss. He represented Voss. And I said, is Robin Voss in Brussels? And he said, yeah, I think so. And I said, is he representing Wisconsin? I don't know. And I said, well, who's paying for the trip? I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I pay his bills. And he said, you pay his bills? He said to me. And I said, yeah, I'm a taxpayer. I just like to know how my money's being spent. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, so let me just draw a conclusion on who I'm talking to. You represent somebody. You don't know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, or how they're getting paid, but you answer his phone. Boy, you got a job I want. You have to do absolutely nothing and patronize the people that call, but you will not even tell us what the guy that you're representing is doing, how he gets paid, what he's doing in Brussels. Oh, you got $1 million job. So to all your listeners out there, Matt, I hope they hear me. This is what we're paying money for. This is the man that represents the state of Wisconsin, and his people that work for him have no idea what he's doing, how he's getting paid, or whatever. They're clueless. They're clueless. That's a paid guy that works for him. People of Wisconsin, we got to demand, not ask. What we should say, as a group of taxpayers, Robin, you got two choices. Resign now and no prosecution. Get out before the get is good. There's a new sheriff in town, Robin. And I'm sorry, you can dilly-dally. You can make all these things. And then the guy has the chutzpah to say, well, he owns a business. I said, I didn't call about popcorn. I called about what he represents. And I'm doing it while I'm listening to you on the air. I thought, I can't wait to get back to you, man. So, Matt, you have
Bill, thank you very much, my friend. We're going to the break. Wonderful call. Thank you. Everybody else, stay on the line. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back in.
Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Into the evening, filtered sunshine and a high in the upper 70s to near 80. A slight shower chance tonight, mostly cloudy and a low in the mid 50s. And still an outside shot of a storm tomorrow, sunshine at times and highs in the upper 70s. Sunny in mid 80s Sunday. Right now it's 73.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we go right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us for my name, Mark.
Yeah, I came across an interesting line from a publication here. I'd like to read it to you. The radical right's totalitarian methods in the campaign and since seriously threatened American freedom. The mutual confidence essential to free government is slowly being cut away by propaganda. Step by step, decent citizens come to tolerate attacks upon the loyalty of loyal men.
That's very good. Very good, Mark. I think that nails it.
And where that came from is actually from Look magazine, January 26th of 1965. And that was by Frank Church, who stated that. And that some of these articles, there's actually four articles in this about the frightened right, and that how history is repeating itself today right. With these same guys. I mean, that quote I just gave could be written today.
I'll tell you something. Frank Church was a great senator from Idaho, Democrat. He is a relative, a distant relative, a friend of mine that lives right around here in my neighborhood. He was a great, great senator. And that's exactly right. And you know what? The lesson I take out of that, Mark, is that you have to be eternally vigilant to keep your liberty, to keep your democracy. They said that back in 1965. Jack Kennedy had been assassinated 2 years before that. Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King were assassinated several years after that. Eternal vigilance is the price of safety of keeping our democracy. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that great call. Well, this is an odd one. This is a real odd one. I want to dig down on this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by secret vote, has been expelled from the Freedom Caucus. That's right. You heard it right. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been expelled from the Freedom Caucus by secret vote. What, you think she suddenly became a liberal or a moderate? No. Or a Democrat? No. Marjorie Taylor Greene supports QAnon. Marjorie Taylor Greene has spread and supports various conspiracy theories, including anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. The reason that they expelled her and the Freedom Caucus loves QAnon. They love these kinds of conspiracies. The reason that they expelled her, believe it or not, is because they think that she is too close to Kevin McCarthy. Now, let's unpack that a little more. The Freedom Caucus are all, at least on the surface, in the Republican Party. They run as Republicans. Kevin McCarthy is a speaker. Took him 15 ballots to become speaker. you had to suck up to and give away the store, put every nut in the Congress and powerful committees and so forth. But they think she's too close to Kevin McCarthy and she supported him on the debt deal. Many people don't know this, but there were something like 17 members of the Freedom Caucus who pledged to vote against extending the national debt. And remember, only to cover things that had already been appropriated and spent, some of them under Donald Trump. So it's one of these twofers. You vote for it, you spend the money, and then you have to vote again on whether you're going to pay the bill. There's only a couple of countries in the world that do it that way. Kenya is another one. We're the only major country. Stupid thing. That's got to be, it's got to be changed. They were willing, 17 of them hate the United States so much, they were willing to put us into default. That's a surefire prescription for encouraging China to invade Taiwan, encouraging Putin to do even worse things in foreign policy, to split our friends and buttress our enemies. And these people in the Freedom Caucus who do not believe in the United States, it's not just that they don't believe in democracy. They don't. They are not loyal to the United States. And the second thing is Marjorie Taylor Greene got too uppity. Yes, she was pro-QAnon. Yes, she was pro-conspiracy theory, including anti-Semitic theories, which were dear to the Freedom Caucus. But she didn't just sit in the background and smile. She decided she might have some ideas on her own. What they like is people like Carrie Lake and Lauren Boebert who smile. They're basically hostesses in hospitality suites, walking around with a tray of cocktail wieners and smiling. That's all they want. Marjorie Taylor Greene actually presumed to say what the rest of the Freedom Caucus believes and says covertly. And when push came to shove, she's so close to Kevin McCarthy and sucks up to him so much that she voted and she supported him in the debt extension limit. For that, she gets expelled. Now, when you have two adversaries expelling one another, you sit back and enjoy it. I'll tell you, an old adage is if your enemy's committing suicide, sit back and don't interfere. An adage in law frequently is the judge rules in your favor, leave the courtroom immediately. The other side's going to get up and shout and moan and everything. And some judges can be a little weak and say, well, maybe I'll reconsider it. If you're not in the courtroom, they can't reconsider it. When you win, you get out of there immediately so it can't be reversed. When the Freedom Caucus, which is an enemy of the United States, expels one of their own for being simply uppity and talking on her own about their issues, not smiling in a hospitality suite, and getting, quote, too close to Kevin McCarthy, end quote, and supporting him on the debt deal, not maybe because she believed in it or she cares about the United States, but because she likes sucking up to McCarthy, they flat out expelled her. You know, that kind of internecine warfare ultimately is going to drag them down. They're intellectually bankrupt. They're morally bankrupt. And now they've got rid of one of their worst, expelled her by secret vote. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Special Report.
To those that lost loved ones and were affected by this horrible tragedy, we offer our condolences.
Federal prosecutor Ian Hanna after Patrick Crucius was sentenced to 90 consecutive life terms in federal prison. Crucius targeted Hispanic shoppers at a Texas Walmart in 2019. David Cruz is with the League of United Latin American Citizens.
It was sort of anticlimactic because we wish that it will help the families heal, those who have been affected. But what's really more troubling is to see that this case really doesn't end the hatred and the hate speech that fueled a gunman like him.
The gunman shot and killed 23 people and injured 20 others. His attorney is Joe Spencer.
When I first went to see him, August 4th, one day after this, and I knew what had happened, do you have a problem? He said, absolutely not. I'm not a racist.
Patrick Crucius still faces state charges and possibly the death penalty. CBS News Special Report.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Governor Tony Evers visited Boys and Girls Clubs across Wisconsin to promote his budget signing. Evers used his veto pen to increase public school funding for the next 402 years, among other measures. Evers said it was important to invest in education for the future of the state. Republican leaders said that the party is considering filing a lawsuit over the budget measure for schools. Republican State Senator Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee that largely wrote the budget, called Evers' tax priorities misguided and warned that the annual increased spending on schools would lead to larger property tax increases. The city of Amory will need to replace two of its leaders after both its police chief and mayor stepped down this week. The city council met Wednesday to approve a search for a new chief of police to replace Steve Heinzel. Heinzel cited intolerable work conditions before retiring. Mayor Chad Leonard resigned yesterday, citing an exhausting political climate. Leonard was elected last year to serve through next spring. City Council President Eric Elkin will be the acting mayor until next spring. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. I'll get to all of you in order. So Nate of Germantown. Nate, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Nate of Germantown.
Hey, Matt. Just wanted to call and have a friendly conversation with you, sir. I enjoy listening to your show, although I don't agree with everything you have to say. That's why I got a few questions for you. That I was wondering if you could answer for me. Just get your thoughts on some things, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Nate. What's in your mind today?
The number one question that I have that I ask my Democrat friends of mine, who we don't agree and we go back and forth on some issues, is, what is your stance on where do you draw the line between what the government should do for its people and what is a personal responsibility? Could you touch on that a little bit? And then I just had one more follow-up question for you regarding the Supreme Court ruling on the student loans, if you will.
Okay, just give me that real quick, Nate. We got a lot of people on the line, then I'll hit you on both. Go ahead. Sir. What's the second one?
Yes, sir. The second question is, what makes President Biden wanting to push this student loan payback, what makes that constitutional? Because in my mind, I think it's immoral and unconstitutional that two-thirds of the people who don't have college degrees themselves are paying for, because this money's coming out of taxpayer dollars, are paying
okay,
for...
Okay, let me respond to both of those and then get on. Excellent questions, Nate, and thank you. You're a principal conservative. I appreciate your calling in. When it comes, where do you draw the line between what government should do and what is personal responsibility? There have been centuries of philosophers who talked about that. I can't do that all on a radio show. But basically what I'd say is this. We are in a capitalist democracy. You can't have democracy without capitalism. You can't have capitalism without democracy. But we also have an enlightened capitalist system with safety nets. You do not want to see people starving. You want to see people employed and housed. And I think the balance that we're striking right now, and up until now, it's been sustained by a good yin and yang between center-right and center-left people of great integrity. Recently under Trump, it went a little bit skewed, actually quite a bit skewed. But basically, Franklin Roosevelt set the paradigm for the present, and I think that Joe Biden has done a very good job continuing it. Secondly, with student loans, it's not unconstitutional for the simple reason that the Supreme Court pointed out that there is a statute that they said was constitutional that said that in a pandemic or in any kind of an emergency as determined by the government, they can alter the terms of it. And the question was, is forgiveness more than alteration of the terms? Not a question of constitutionality. It's a question, is did the statute go far enough? Thanks an awful lot for calling. Next up is Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
My mind is, I see a lot of coverage and they're talking about the trials of the president, and particularly if he's convicted of espionage, does that not bar him from seeking future political office, any office of honor? And likewise, if he's guilty of insurrection, the 14th Amendment would seem to prohibit him from seeking any office of honor. So either of those two trials could get him off the ballot. Well, or will the Republicans place games on that?
Right. Excellent question. Let me just hit it quick and go to the next caller. First of all, you're half right. In other words, the 14th Amendment says that if he's a part of an insurrection and he's convicted of that, he can't hold a public office again. That's exactly right. And a lot of people have argued he should be barred right now. When it comes to espionage, you're not going to believe this, but a felony conviction for anything else other than insurrection does not constitutionally bar him from running. There was a mayor of Boston named Curley back in the 20s who was convicted of bribery. He took a big bribe and he gave a contract to a construction company to build a sidewalk out into a forest. And he went to prison and he ran from prison. And he won. So the sad thing is that Donald Trump could be convicted of espionage and be in prison and could win. What the Constitution assumes is that the electorate has some dignity, that the electorate has some intelligence looking at this. They're not going to vote for a guy like that. But I got to tell you right now, the polls in the Republican primary, largely because of the other Republican candidates are so bad, he's ahead of the field, even with these indictments. It's very sad. Excellent call. Thank you so much. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey. Well, I'll tell you. One reason I love this show is because I'm learning and I'm being affected because I find myself really reacting emotionally to questions from people. And seeing and hearing you handle people the way you do in a straightforward and honest and positive way, it's really helping me. It is. But here's my question. Kind of, I won't go into the background of it, but I want to know, get your response. Somebody says, no, we do not have a democracy. We have a republic. That's my question. I'm going to hang up and listen, okay?
All right. The word republic, remember Benjamin Franklin, when they came out of the Constitutional Congress, a woman said to him, what kind of government will we have? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. What's a republic? A republic is different from a monarchy. In a monarchy, you have, like King Charles, England has a monarchy, not a republic. They have an established religion. They have a king. We over here in the First Amendment, bar the establishment of religion, we have separation of church and state. We have an elected president. He works for us. We don't work for him or her. Same with the Senate, same with the Congress. That's a republic. Now, you could have different kinds of republics. We have a republic that is a democracy. What does that mean? Democracy comes from two Greek words, demos and kratos. Demos is people, kratos is power, power of the people. So we have the most open democracy and the oldest democracy, believe it or not, the oldest ongoing democracy in the world, where we have elections. And we go to the polls, and the majority puts in the president, the senator, the congressman, and all this kind of stuff. You could have something like the House of Lords in England. Their lower house, a parliament, is a democracy. You vote for parliament. They're like congressmen. In the upper, in the House of Lords, which is like our Senate, you inherit, and many of them inherit their seats. Their father was the Duke of Norfolk. They are now the Duke of Norfolk. They get to sit in the House of Lords. Bishops of the church in England get to sit in the House of Lords. The reform that the Labour Party put in is that they have appointed lords that Labour will put in or that the Tories will put in, but they can only serve for life and their sons or daughters can't inherit it. So, but it's still overall a democracy because of parliament. So that's the difference. A republic different from a monarchy. We have an elected president, and that's what we have here, and a Congress and a Senate. But democracy is appointment, direct appointment in this case, by people through elections. I mean, you could have, for instance, a republic that has political parties and they appoint their various representatives to the congressional role and all that. And in effect, in England and a lot of European countries, it's almost like that, because if they don't back you, you don't get elected. We are a pure democracy and a pure republic, thank God. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Gene?
Boy, outstanding show again today, Matt. I have to take notes all the time because I'm learning. Thank you so much for all of your knowledge and education. I just wanted to call, and I like to call or encourage a lot of people, you know, you do what Bill's doing, I do the same thing. I learned years ago that if your representative does not hear from you, they think you agree with them. So if you disagree with what's going on in our state right now, you need to call and have your voice heard or send emails or however you communicate. And also, let our governor know that you support him and that he's, you know, doing a good job or doing the right thing. You don't need to be mean or anything, but they need to hear your dissatisfaction and your concerns and your questions, because that's the only way they're going to hear from us. And those people that answer the phone are there to take notes. So, and you don't have to give your name. If they say you have to give your name, say, I'm sorry, I don't give my name, because years ago, Scotty Walker, when he was recalled, all the people that signed the petitions in the recall, their names in the petitions were published online, and everybody's name was on there, and then it was connected to our circuit courts so that any employer could look up the person. I think since then somebody made them take it off, but so they'll understand that you don't need to give your name in the state of Wisconsin with what's running it. And again, I just want to say one real quick thing. I warned Marjorie Taylor Greene that they were going to kick her like an old shoe to the side of the road as soon as they were done using her, because they do not have anything or respect for women in the Republican Party. So as soon as they're done using them, they go to the side of the road. So thank you, Matt. You have a good weekend. Thanks for the education. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Excellent call, Gene, as always. Thank you very much. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, I would take a little bit of exception with what you said about you stated that our president is democratically elected, and I'm sure you're aware of it. Our president is not democratically elected, or Hillary Clinton would have been president instead of Donald Trump. Our president is appointed by a group called the Electoral College, which, again, I'm sure you're aware of, and that's why we need to get enough states that we have an Electoral College majority, because we'll never get a constitutional amendment to overturn this. But if we get enough states to sign, I think it's called the Interstate Popular Vote Compact, get enough states to do that where we have the majority of the Electoral College, then we will have a real democracy in terms of electing the president. That's my comment for the day.
Yeah, excellent comment, Jack. And I think you've raised an important point, but it needs a lot more context, so I'm going to give it right now. It is true that we have an Electoral College. And so therefore, for instance, Wisconsin gets 10 electoral votes, 8 for our congressional seats and 2 for the Senate. Wyoming gets 3, 1 because they have one congressman, but 2 for the Senate. California will get something like 58, 56 for the congressional seats and 2 for the Senate. The point is, Wyoming and California, one has upwards of 35 million people. The other one has 600,000 people. Each have 2 senators. And that was a deal made by the Continental Congress because the slave states were smaller and they were afraid they were going to get left out in the cold. So that's very, very true. It does not change the fact that we do have a popular vote in all these states for president, which directs our electors. Now, one of the problems with Moore versus Harper was this Supreme Court, there's several of them, want to get rid of what I just said and have the electors picked by the gerrymandered legislatures. That would change things. Thank God it hasn't happened yet. We have to be eternally vigilant. The second thing, keep this in mind. Sometimes you have faithless electors. In Alabama in 1960, when Jack Kennedy was elected, he took Alabama. It was still a Democratic state. But several of the electors wouldn't vote for him because they thought he was too fancy. He was from Massachusetts and all that. Fortunately, he still had enough electoral votes to win. But in Hillary Clinton's case in 2016, there were some electors, I think it was Montana and elsewhere, or it was some state that she won against Trump, and maybe it was Nevada, and they refused to vote for her anyway, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you can't be a faithless elector. You can't do it on your own. You have absolutely got to follow the wishes of the electorate, but they didn't have all the nuts they have on the Supreme Court right now. So you're raising a very good point. We have an electoral college, and the compact you're talking about, as a number of states have said, we will all agree to have our electoral votes go for whoever gets the popular vote nationwide. That would be great, but none of the southern states are going to do it. So therefore, the northern states would say fine, and it'd be a one-way street. Excellent call. Thank you, as always. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see people on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back right after the break.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Into the evening, filtered sunshine and a high in the upper 70s to near 80. A slight shower chance tonight, mostly cloudy and a low in the mid-50s. And still an outside shot of a storm tomorrow, sunshine at times and highs in the upper 70s. Sunny in mid-80s Sunday. Right now it's 73.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bill LeShorewood, my friend, thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has dropped its jobs report for the month. 209,000 jobs added in June, which was just about to be expected. There were some earlier reports earlier in the week from some private forecasters that were much higher than that and spooked the market yesterday. But the official statistics are right in line. The unemployment rate drifted down to 3.6%, which is slightly above the low point in April, which was a 50-year low. Over the last 3 months, the growth on jobs is 244,000 a month, which means that we're slowly moving into what we're looking for, which is that soft landing without a recession. And the Fed has predicted about maybe two more small rate hikes between now and the first of the year. And so we're on track for a soft landing. Anyway, thanks for the time and talk to you later.
That's terrific, Bill. And for everybody's edification, Bill is a professional economist. That's very, very important coming from Bill. 209,000 jobs that month alone, average of 244 each of the 3 months. Those are new jobs. The unemployment level down under 4% to about, 3.6? And, you know, you take a look at everything Biden did with hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, just landing the plane out of inflation, which was worldwide, absolutely worldwide after the pandemic. This guy is a master in many respects. Obviously, Franklin Roosevelt is the gold standard. This is the guy that changed America from the prior agrarian society where everybody was sitting in a cabin somewhere with no electricity and not enough food into a modern country. But Joe Biden, of any president since then, economically now, and foreign policy and standing up against the Ruskies and standing with Ukraine and putting together the coalition, which is like the Asian NATO against China. We couldn't ask for a better president. This is just terrific news. I got to share a story that kind of blew me away. I think it's kind of funny. I'm going to read you some names. You tell me if you recognize any of these names. Believe it or not, there are online and also in-person gambling companies that are taking bets and placing odds on who left the cocaine in the White House. Now, remember something. When George W. Bush was president, he admitted that he used cocaine. But the way he admitted it, they asked him as he was running for president, did you use cocaine? Answer, I never used cocaine after my father was elected vice president. His father was elected vice president in 1980. That's when he was 36, 30 say, 34 years old. Prior to that, he had. Nobody thinks that George W. Bush left any in the White House. And everybody in the Republican Party is going, oh, it's Hunter Biden, and all this. But here are the odds on other people having left it. And it absolutely blew me away. And you tell me if you recognize the names and if you would place this bet. 8-1. In other words, you put down $8. You put down $1 and you'd get $8 payoff. A Kansas City tight end, the Kansas City Chiefs tight end named Travis Kelce, it looks like. 10-1. You put down $1 and you get 10 back if you're right. And one of the Jonas brothers. This one blew me away. 12-1. You put down $1, get 12 back if you're right. Angelina Jolie. Apparently she was in the White House. How about this one? 14-1. Somebody from the Louisiana State University Lady Tigers. How about this? 14-1. But somebody from the UConn men's basketball team. This one, really, I didn't know the guy was in the White House. 16-1. Snoop Dogg. 20-1. This surprised me, too. Elton John. 25-1. Selena Gomez. This one really surprised me. 25-1. Patrick Mahomes. 33-1. Paris Hilton. I had no idea that all these, I knew the sports teams had been there. I didn't know Paris Hilton had been there. This one, these last three totally blew me away. 50-1. You put down $1, you get 50. Tom Brady. How about this one? And this could cause an international incident. 100-1. You put down $1, you get 100 back. Narendra Modi, he's the head guy in India, who was in for a state dinner. I mean, for God's sake, you know, these gambling companies, for love of Pete. I mean, you know. And this one, 100-1. Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach. So, this stuff's going on. People are putting money down, and they're not putting $1 down either. Some of them are putting $1,000 down, or they're putting a lot more down. You know, do they really think, do they really honestly think that any of these people have done this? I mean, I can't believe that they think that. I cannot believe that they think that. One last piece of snark. Donald Trump the other day posted the Obama's home address on social media, on True Social. In response, a guy shows up with two guns and hundreds of rounds of ammo. He was arrested because this is on Embassy Road. This is where all the ambassadors live, too. Name was Taylor Toronto. Taylor Toronto is the bad guy. He got the Obama family address from Trump on social media. Trump was doxing Obama. Trump threatens people. He's the one. Said that the Second Amendment people should take care, quote, take care of Hillary Clinton. And then when the Secret Service talked to him, I just meant they should vote. I just meant they should vote. He said that Hillary Clinton's bodyguards should be disarmed. At his rallies, there'd be a protester. He'd say, beat him up and I'll pay your legal fees. Beat him up and I'll pay your legal fees. He's an expert at covert violence, a covert just winking, wincing, suggesting, and then backing off like he did on January 6th. And other guys go up there, five get killed, and some of them go to jail for 15 years. And he doesn't leave any fingerprints. I think he left a lot of fingerprints. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Have a great weekend. Stand by for Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. It's a great radio show. See you back on Monday. Signing off for today.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.